Hello, and welcome to the Parents as Learning Coaches edition of the Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud podcast. Parents and caregivers play many different roles, at times even somewhat conflicting roles, as they support children's development. The pandemic has shown a light on the importance of parents supporting learners. In this podcast, I'll look to share my experiences as a teacher, educator, parent, grandparent, and continuous learner that can support your coaching efforts.
Parents cultivating empathy. A Harvard Graduate School of Education post on cultivating empathy opens with this statement, quote, "Empathy is at the heart of what it means to be human. It's a foundation for acting ethically, for good relationships of many kind, for loving well, and for professional success. And it's key to preventing bullying and many other forms of cruelty." End quote. The link to this post and all the other resources mentioned are in the lead-in to this podcast. Nursing scholar Teresa Wiseman defines empathy as the capacity to imagine what another person is feeling without feeling it yourself. Although what we imagine can never be exactly what the other person feels, we try to get as close to it as possible. Empathy also includes the capacity to reflect the feeling of the other person that you're dealing with back to the other person. To be able to see the world as others see it requires putting our own stuff aside and to see the situation through the eyes of another person. Wiseman goes on to identify four attributes of empathy. She lists an affective dimension, and this describes the capacity to share the feelings of others. She describes a moral dimension, which is the motivation to seek good for others. She lists a cognitive dimension, which is the capacity to identify and understand the emotion of others. And then lastly, a behavioral dimension, which describes the capacity to convey our understanding of the other person's emotions to the other person. In an earlier podcast interview with Tom Hoare, the author of The Formative Five, Fostering Grit, Empathy, and Other Success Skills Every Student Needs, Tom describes some steps to working with empathy that, for me, really aligned with those Wiseman's attributes that I just shared. Tom's steps were listening, understanding, and action. Listen in as Tom explains those steps.
So, Tom, you listed some steps to developing empathy, and the first two were listening and understanding. And I'm wondering if you can kind of label that for us, and then how do I, as a parent, begin to assist my child in developing that listening and understanding piece?
I think with all of these success skills, actually with all of education, you know, it begins with intentionality. It begins with saying, this is what's important. And in my book, The Formative Five, I talk about beginning with vocabulary. So to me, empathy is a word that we should talk about. It should be known by children, whether they're 5 years old or 15 years old. And I think we, whether we're the parents at breakfast or the dinner table, or whether we're the educator, we need to consciously seek out opportunities to understand how other people see the world differently. This has probably always been a problem, but I think it is more so today because it's a whole lot easier for us to stay in our cocoon. I'm old enough when there were only a few network television stations years ago, and everybody watched, you know, ABC, NBC, or CBS. Well, now there's, 50 channels, 100 channels, who knows? And so politically, you can turn on the channel that supports your beliefs, and you can watch that all the time. And you never really understand that there's another way to look at things, that people are seeing things differently. Similarly, it's possible to only talk to the people that are going to support your beliefs, that are going to say what you want to say. And when we do that, I think we miss an opportunity. So as parents or as educators, we have, I think, a responsibility to help people, help kids see that it's a complex world and begin to see that people see things differently, logically, not because they're wrong, but because they're in a different situation. And we all gain when we make a point of understanding how other people view the world and how they feel.
Tom, As I'm listening, I'm sensing it's a need to stretch outside of myself to look at it differently. How do I, as a parent, explain that with kids?
Yeah, one of the terms I talked about vocabulary a moment ago. One of the terms that I haven't mentioned that I think everybody should be talking about is comfort zone. We can establish comfort zone with our kids, help them understand what that is and why it's easy. By definition, a comfort zone is where you're being reinforced. Your values are always around you. It's easy. But then I would say, let's talk about what's different. In most communities, for example, if you get in a car and drive 10 minutes in one direction, you're going to see a different kind of neighborhood. And it may be a neighborhood that has more poverty. It may be a neighborhood that has more opulence. But then looking at that, even while you're driving, and say, how do you think we might see the world differently if we grew up here? What would that look like? There's also an amazing book called Material World by Menzel and Mann. And it's a book that I think would be great to have in every home and certainly in every school library. And in Material World, what they do is they look at 30 cultures around the world. And when you open the book, there's a photo of a family from that culture. And they're standing with all of their worldly possessions. So here's a family in Los Angeles, and they've got 3 TVs and 2 cars and all these clothes. And then you turn the page, and here's a nomadic family living in the middle of a desert with very few things. And not only is the photo there, but there's text that goes in and explains what the living conditions are like, what the climate is like, and so forth and so on. And I think it's a great resource, whether you're growing up in Vermont, Utah, London, or Tunisia, to see the world around you and begin speculating, how would we live differently if we were in the middle of a desert or if we were in Los Angeles? How would we see things? And again, that's that intellectual, that's the cognitive empathy, the first step about which I talked earlier. Once that's established, then you can begin to really talk about how people might feel. If you're a teacher, great window there is using novels, using history. We're really good as educators about teaching kids what happened and when it happened. We're less good about teaching them why it happened. What were the underlying assumptions? Looking at slavery, we all know that economically there was an advantage to people to have other folks who were their slaves. But let's step back and look at how do we think, how did they feel? The Invention of Wings by Sue Monk Kidd is a great novel. It would be appropriate for a class to begin to get in folks' heads. Now, if you do that, and here's the worry, Steve, people need to know that if they do this the right way, if cognitively kids understand, emotionally they understand, they're going to want to get to that last step of actionable. They're going to want to make a difference. It's hard to really appreciate how people feel, see the different situations, and not then say, I need to get involved. Now, I would argue that's good. To me, that's a success, but you just need to be aware that that's where you're headed.
The Harvard post that I mentioned earlier on cultivating empathy provides 5 tips for parents. Number 1, empathize with your child and model empathy for others. Children learn empathy both from watching us and from experiencing our empathy for them. 2, make caring for others a priority and set a high ethical expectation. If children are to value others' perspectives and show compassion for them, it's very important that they hear from their parents that caring about others is a top priority and that it can be just as important as their own happiness. 3, provide opportunities for children to practice empathy. You see, children are born with the capacity for empathy, but it needs to be nurtured throughout our lives. Learning empathy is, in some respects, like learning a language or a sport. It requires practice and guidance. Suggestion number four is to expand your child's circle of concern. As parents and caretakers, it's not only important that we model appreciation for many types of people, it's important that we guide children in understanding and caring for many kinds of people who are different from them and who may be facing challenges very different from their own challenges. Lastly, number five, help children develop self-control and manage feelings effectively. Often when children don't express empathy, it's not because they don't have it. It can be because some feeling or image is blocking their empathy. Often the ability to care for others is overwhelmed, for example, by anger, shame, envy, or other negative feelings. Helping children manage these negative feelings, as well as stereotypes and prejudices about others, is often what releases their empathy. Cultivating empathy means building an understanding of what others are feeling, of how our actions impact others, and why someone might be experiencing feelings at a particular time. And lastly, it is a valuable life skill for all of us to possess. I strongly recommend the Harvard Post 5 Tips for Cultivating Empathy for your further exploration on this topic. They share some suggestions for family conversations to extend the understanding of empathy. I hope you enjoy this important element of parenting and caretaking. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening. You can subscribe to Steve Barkley Ponders Out Loud on iTunes and Podbean. And please remember to rate and review us on iTunes. I also want to hear what you're pondering. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Barkley, or send me your questions and find my videos and blogs at barkleypd.com.